You might say we've got two data points now, two defendants or potential defendants in the world of electronic espionage and the leaking of classified information. There's Private Bradley Manning in the WikiLeaks case. He's on trial in a military court. And now leaker Edward Snowden on the lam in Hong Kong, former CIA computer technician behind the latest national security leaks that have dominated the headlines since last week. Snowden is a low-level technician, or was, for the private security firm Booz Allen Hamilton. A low-level techie with a high level of access.
When you're in positions of privileged access, like a systems administrator for these sort of intelligence community agencies, you're exposed to a lot more information on a broader scale than the average employee. And because of that, you see things that may be disturbing.
It's Edward Snowden, leaker, speaking to the Guardian news organization. Guardian broke the latest surveillance story last week. We turn now to Mike Rispoli, who's communications manager for Privacy International. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Hey, John, how you doing?
So is Privacy International a subcontractor in any way in the same domain as Booz Allen Hamilton, which, of course, is a huge company?
No, not even close. Privacy International is a charity-based charity organization based in London. And one of the things we do is fight and advocate for privacy rights around the world. And one of the things we actually focus on is government surveillance on citizens.
So you're inclined very much to support Edward Snowden in his political rationale for all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly commend him and any whistleblower who sees something like this going on in their job, sees the government abusing power or stepping over the line and letting the public know about it. It's an incredibly important thing to do.
And maybe it's incredibly important, but it also speaks to the culture of people in this position. I think you have Bradley Manning, who was very much a loner, who used the computers to explore a world that he was able to get all kinds of access to and then leak to the WikiLeaks organization and Julian Assange. It seems to me Ed Snowden is sort of in the same cast. He's not in the military. He's not as much of a loner. Do you recognize similarities there?
Yes, I think there are similarities. You made the correct distinction. It is important to note that Bradley Manning was a member of the military, and so therefore his actions, you know, he's going to be facing different types of charges than one would expect Edward Snowden to be, charged with. But Edward Snowden, he's one of the 1.4 million people who have this type of top secret clearance. And we're seeing today that about out of that 1.4 million people, 450,000 of those actually are private contractors. And so I think you're right to put them in the same category, but their motivations are probably different, and certainly their positions and titles are different.
But of course, in the 21st century, governments are going to be involved with big data, and they're going to be looking at huge electronic domains of one kind or another. Is it the case, if you're maintaining systems like that, isn't there some expectation that you're not going to describe everything that the government is doing as a form of fascism and then leak it to the world? I mean, is there no conceivable aspect of this program that could have been justified in your view?
I think that the way that we feel is that the government absolutely does have a duty to protect people. That is absolutely true, but the problem, though, is that they need to be accountable to law and to Congress and to the public. And so with much of this being carried out in such a secret fashion, it violates a very important aspect or underlying tenet of democracy, which is that the access and understanding of law, that citizens should know what the law is, how it's being interpreted, and how it's being executed. I think that there's a reason why Daniel Ellsberg, the man who leaked the Pentagon Papers, he said that this is one of the most significant leaks in U.S. history. Edward Snowden, who does have access to all this information, he could have actually probably leaked a lot more. His ability to see all this different data that's collected, I mean, he probably could see a lot more things than he actually gave out. He felt that the government was doing something wrong, and he had access to spy lists that were significant, but he only released the information that he believed to be in the public's best interest.
Right, but we have to take that on faith about him, just like we have to take it on faith about the government that their, you know, intentions are good. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's a technology issue here, and I don't want to get argumentative or anything, but if the government, I mean, we all would love the government to maintain the energy grid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to keep everything running, to watch over the energy circuits going from residential areas to power generation. But if somebody who is doing that noticed that the government was also monitoring the kinds of use of that electricity that people were doing, you know, whether they got their computers plugged in or not, and then leaked all of that and threatened the whole system. I mean, is it really a fair comparison with the Pentagon Papers, which was about the Vietnam War? Don't you want to wait for a case to come up where someone is convicted or is charged on the basis of evidence like this?
Sure. So two things. I'm not comparing it necessarily to the Pentagon Papers, although I'm sure there would be people that would draw that comparison. I was just mentioning that one of the most famous whistleblowers in history did say that this was one of a very significant leak. I think what we're talking about here, though, is that the government spying on U.S. citizens. I mean, you take the first story that broke, which was the collection of metadata from Verizon. This isn't, you know, people can say that, you know, they're not intercepting phone calls, they're not listening to your conversations, but the amount of information that the government is collecting on U.S. citizens is an invasion of their privacy. I mean, there is a reasonable expectation that we should have that the U.S. government will not be spying on its own citizens. And so the comparison that, I don't know if I would make the same comparison that you did in terms of that this is just like an energy grid, and that this is actually information that is very private and personal information. And so while there may be instances where the government has the ability to, let's say, get a warrant, get a judge to approve it, and then target an individual for intelligence purposes or law enforcement purposes, that is certainly one thing. But what we're seeing is that that is not the program that they are conducting. It's very vast and it's very invasive.
Well, it's hard for me to even figure out how to think about this. I was outraged when I first heard about it, but in thinking about it, you know, we are in a different age, and the courts are really going to have to define what's going on here. Mike Rispoli, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mike Rispoli is communications manager for the organization Privacy International. We're hearing a lot of outrage from you about all this. Is Edward Snowden a traitor or a hero?
This is Nick in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. People like Snowden and Manning will be remembered 100 years from now. They'll be remembered as heroes. They'll be remembered as patriots.
That's certainly how John from Williston, North Dakota is going to remember Edward Snowden.
I just want to say I think this guy is a hero for letting this stuff out, but I think the bigger picture is we need to pay more attention to the bills and the laws that Congress pushes through. This is part of a law that was pushed through right after 9/11, and nobody really wanted to look at it.
Good point. Is Snowden a hero or a traitor? And what do you think about civic engagement as an element here? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry in the Twin Cities, and this is The Takeaway. You might say we've got two data points now, two potential defendants in the world of electronic espionage and the leaking of classified information. One, of course, is a defendant, Private Bradley Manning, in the WikiLeaks case. He's on trial in a military court. But now leaker Edward Snowden on the lam in Hong Kong, former CIA computer technician behind the latest national security leaks that have dominated the headlines since last week. Snowden, a low-level technician for the private security firm Booz Allen Hamilton, low-level techie with a high level of access.
When you're in positions of privileged access, like a systems administrator for these sort of intelligence community agencies, you're exposed to a lot more information on a broader scale than the average employee. And because of that, you see things that may be disturbing.
It's Edward Snowden speaking to the Guardian news organization. The Guardian broke the latest surveillance story last week. We turn now to Tim Weiner, author of Enemies, A History of the FBI and Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA. Tim, welcome.
How are you?
You know, listening to Snowden talk, he sounds like so many well-educated but kind of libertarian-oriented techies that I've interviewed in Silicon Valley and in industries outside of government and espionage. How would you ever be able to rely on such an individual in a case of sensitive electronic surveillance?
Well, what's extraordinary is that we have now an enormous intelligence industrial complex. President Eisenhower warned us more than 50 years ago about the military-industrial complex, and he warned against, I'm quoting, the disastrous rise of misplaced power. The intelligence-industrial complex is a post-9/11 phenomenon, and there are literally hundreds of thousands of people who have top-level security clearances who are working both in the intelligence community and as contractors.
And this is proliferated because you can't run these giant systems without all these people with access, top secret access.
Well, it's proliferated because President Bush, after 9/11, ordered the intelligence services to grow by 50%. And they couldn't do that overnight. Patriotism for profit became a $50 billion a year business. Corporate clones of the CIA and the National Security Agency started sprouting all over the suburbs of Washington. And what's happened, and what is the case with Snowden, is that if you worked at NSA or CIA, the agencies began contracting out thousands and thousands of jobs. So one day you're an NSA employee or a CIA employee, you turn in your government ID, you go to work for two times the money at Booz Allen Hamilton, as Snowden did, or Lockheed Martin. And who do you work for? Are you working for the government? Are you working for profit? They just hire these people and stack them like cordwood in the corridors. And one of them, out of the hundreds of thousands, is going to have Snowden-esque ideas about, you know, getting under the hood of the machine of history and tinkering with the works.
You know, it's interesting. The Guardian published an op-ed piece from Daniel Ellsberg, the famous leaker in the Pentagon Papers case. He used to work for the RAND Corporation, a subcontractor consulting firm that still, of course, exists. Ellsberg was something of an outlier within the RAND culture. Do you think Snowden is a kind of Ellsberg character? And Ellsberg, of course, very supportive of Edward Snowden in his piece. What do you think of the Snowden character as typical or maybe unique within this culture of espionage?
I think, without wanting to do armchair psychoanalysis of the man, people who are idealistic, maybe a little innocent, are struck by the power of the intelligence services. And it triggers something within them. To the NSA, to the intelligence community, Snowden is a traitor. He's a spy. And he will be handled that way. He knows that, you know, he'll probably spend the rest of his life on the run or on trial or in prison.
Ellsberg called the United States like Stasi, the Stasi organization in Eastern Europe, in East Germany during the Cold War. Do you think that's a fair characterization? He very much supports Snowden. In your view, is this like the Pentagon Papers leak? Is it the most important thing to have happened in 20 years, as Ellsberg suggests?
No, I do not. I mean, what we have here essentially is a PowerPoint presentation of a computer system. What's extraordinary to me, and I think what made a lot of people really sit up straight when they saw this information, is the links between the spy services, like the National Security Agency, and the social media giants, like Google, like Facebook, and the disingenuous denials by Google and Facebook, like, oh, there's no back door here. There's no trap door. No, there's a front door. And they let the government in.
But there's something about the nature of all this electronic data that it's all being looked at by somebody. In the end...
Don't assume that the spy services are able to look at the terabytes and gigabytes that they're storing for a rainy day.
So you think it matters hugely if the government is looking at it versus some techie over at Facebook is looking at it?
No. What is extraordinary, I think, about the information released here and what should be, the president says he welcomes this, a matter of public debate is there such a thing as privacy anymore, or have we surrendered it? Does the government, in pursuit of counterterrorism, get to read your mail without a warrant, listen to your phone calls without a warrant? What has happened, as happened with nuclear weapons policy and war strategy that Ellsberg released in the Pentagon Papers, is that technology is so far outstripping policy. We have, as a nation, our spy services have, the ability to harvest this information. Do they have the ability to analyze it? Do we as a people want them to do that? Let's have a debate about this, and let's get the head of the NSA and the Don't Be Evil dudes from Google up there under oath. Tell us what's up.
But finally, it's possible that technology renders all the metaphors in which we think about this sort of thing moot. I mean, reading mail involves opening up an envelope, intercepting an object, and taking a look at it. In the digital domain, those kinds of metaphors don't apply. I'm just wondering if we're even prepared to have that debate right now.
We have to have that debate because we have a Constitution that includes the Fourth Amendment and its guarantees against unreasonable searches and seizures. Now, the kind of general warrant that this technology provides is not like a search warrant where you have to show probable cause. A general warrant was one of the causes of the American Revolution against the British, the power of the king to search your home, to search your mail, to search in your desk drawers. And this is what the technology now poses. Yes, your home is your castle, but is a castle safe against the king?
That's the question. Tim Weiner, author of Enemies, A History of the FBI, and Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA. Tim, thanks so much.
Bet, John.